Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS. We're gonna stir it up and do things our way. So if you
wanna move, get out of our way. Hey, hey, hey.
Happy freedom-loving American week.
That's right. It's the 4th of July week.
And it's on a Thursday, so most people get a four-day weekend, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really helps with my travels, too. As a joke, I'd say hi on a sport, but probably like Target. The grocery store has some great deals on 12 packs of soda because of barbecues. Mm-hmm. That excites me.
They also have like great deals on large packages of chicken and meat, and like especially like carne asada and stuff like that. You stock up, freeze it. Hello.
We're revealing our commoner lives right now.
Oh, no, God. This is what I donate to the soup kitchens later on. You know, they need to be able to enjoy American freedom too. They don't need to have just hot dogs and hamburgers. They should enjoy a nice porterhouse as well. I've got baked potatoes for them.
with caviar. Someone's been visiting Kathy. Mm-hmm. But you know, this kind of common practical knowledge really isn't what PCP is about. We like to escape into the world of wealth, pretend wealth, former wealth, crumbling wealth. And lately, we've been diving into the smoke and mirrors, which a lot here on PCP, but always on Bravo, there's someone. And last week was PK and Dorit, Beverly Hills, parentheses, Encino. I think this week we're heading over to New Jersey.
Ooh, yeah. Well, because there's just been news coming out of New Jersey, and New Jersey is like running right now. And New Jersey is also, I would say, like this country, very polarizing.
Oh my God, it is. That's like, why.
Yeah. And you and I are actually kind of centrist when it comes to New Jersey. Like, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I watch it, but I'm also just like, I don't stand anybody. So I just kind of live. I'm the one sitting in the back eating the popcorn going, ooh, that's juicy. Ooh, that's juicy. Ooh, that's juicy.
Totally. If you look, I am right there in the thick of Bravo social media chaos and feuds. I love it. Do you guys see me going New Jersey fans are like, I'm like, I can't keep up with you guys. I'm just reading along and learning both sides. Teach me something new every day.
The Reddits actually, that has like Bravo Reddits, especially New Jersey Reddits, have like really gotten me. I was like, oh, this is a rabbit hole. I'm lost.
Well, I guess then, I guess it's pretty easy to guess who we're going to dive into, but depending on what side you're on, everyone's a potential criminal, hate each other. But we're going to start over in Montville, New Jersey, in a house recently purchased to coincide with their wedding. That is right. Louis Relis and Teresa Giudice Relis, nay Gorga.
Yep.
Tree and Louie.
The queen of New Jersey. She's the queen of New Jersey. Let's be real here. I'm sorry. Like for anybody who hates her, she is the queen of New Jersey.
Absolutely. Top tier housewife. It's really more about Louis. I think we should just dive into it.
Yeah, we'll be, yeah, this is about Louis.
But I will say this, you know, she seems to have relationship patterns.
Mm-hmm. And she's only been in two serious relationships, both of them in marriage, and one went one way and another one seems to be going in the other way right now.
She does have a pattern. She does have a pattern. And I was rooting. I remember when she finally, okay, when the marriage was going south with Joe, her original husband, two things that always, and they made me laugh and I thought it was great. It gave me hope for her. One was when things were falling apart and, you know, their finances were coming to light and they were facing criminal charges and stuff. In a confessional, Teresa said, you know what? My Jewish girlfriends have told me that I should pack up and leave. They would have left Joe a while ago. And she was like, yeah, you know, people are telling me. And then I was chuckling. And then once she was divorced and, you know, before she met Louis, she had promised, I think it was on a reunion, that she was going to let Jackie and stuff set her up with some Jewish guys, a doctor, mm-hmm. a lawyer, just some, the religion isn't the issue. It's just someone on, like a doctor, a lawyer, someone just with a
180 from these Goombas that she dates, that she likes, you know what I mean? I think we all need to get out of our type. Period. Like, yeah. We all need to try something a little different. If you always like, you know, mint chocolate chip, why not try Rocky Road? You know, let's get out of that, you know, that family. Yeah.
And so that gave me hope for her. I'm like, I would love to see her settled down and like someone with a solid career or a traceable income. And then nope. Just as soon as she said that, bam, she went right back. Right back to the type, Louis.
Well, where do we start? You know where to start this. So, yeah.
God, I mean, I think maybe we should just like, what's most recent right now? So, yeah. Because it's a whole scene. Backwards. I mean, this has been going on for seasons. But right now, what's the big news? That he took $1 million loan out on the house.
Yes. On their $3.34 million home in Montville, New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now some people say, well, yeah, like sometimes you do take out a loan on your home in order to do things. Some people take out a home equity loan to, you know, remodel, do certain things or whatever. But there's an article in Collider. Was it Collider? Or no. Something else. Where is it? Oh, it was on Hollywood Unlocked. And that seems to imply this. I'm going to quote. Recently, it was reported that Ruelas secured a $1 million loan using his mansion as collateral. And sources close revealed that the owner, the CEO of this what's the name of the company? Vinivia.
We'll find out on the court documents.
Yeah. This article in Hollywood Unlocked to me seemed to be suggesting that this $1 million loan was taken out for business purposes, but not to like invest into the business, but to like promote
pay off
the
debts.
Business. Oh. Yeah. But also to like promote, like to get that cyber truck and put the graphics on it. Do you know what I mean? It, that type of stuff, not like, or to pay himself off for that. Because also in this article, apparently, I have to look at the word to say it. Vinivia employees were instructed that Ruelas was an investor in mandating a $300,000 check be written to a fictitious entity named Influencer Nation and another $100,000 check for personal use by Louis and his sons.
Yeah.
But apparently Influencer Nation is non-existent and there's no actual investors behind it. That's what this article says. So,
well, one thing that caught my eye, because my favorite thing here is to is to research the homes. That's the first stop for me on figuring out how legit these people are, especially housewives. Like last week we talked about calling out Picandry and stuff like that. And a lot of these articles had mentioned Louis paid cash for their new home. Because they said he didn't purchase it with a loan. And it was like 3.35 mil, something like that. And that he just recently took out $1 million against the his equity in it to, like you said, invest in the business and stuff. But those articles aren't exactly correct, because I, you know, like to look things up. I know which records to check out. And that home has a $2.5 million mortgage on it.
Already?
Mm-hmm. So either one, they're lying, he's lying about having paid cash for the home. We know kind of Teresa trusts the man she's with and she takes his word for it. With Joe, we saw how that worked out. Mm-hmm. With Louie, I don't believe her name's on the house. I think no, she admitted to LLC. That. So she may not know exactly what's going on with the finances, which seems to be her MO. But either one, he told her like to act like a big shot. He purchased that house cash, $3.5 mil, right out of his pocket, no big deal. And that he took out a big mortgage behind her back. Or the second is, he's taken out a lot more than $1 million against the house, because it's a house of cards, and it seems like there are a lot of debts he owes, a lifestyle to keep up.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of fake Cartier bracelets he's got to buy with that money.
That was it for me when he gave her daughters these Cartier bracelets, and they were so clearly fake. The packaging was just like, the font was off, everything. That's when I was like, no.
That was just mean. That was just mean to do to her daughters. I was just like,
I know. And they went on like Instagram Live. No. They were proud.
They were so proud. Anyway, okay. So, but what you're saying is, he looks like he already had a $2.5 million mortgage on this house. And then he took out 1 million dollar loan.
I'm not sure if this million is included in the 2.5 million.
Okay.
I'm not sure the origins of these, but the order in which they were taken out. However, he had said that he paid cash up front for the house. There were no loans. And there's rumored to be that 1 million in debt that he just took out. There are $2.5 million in mortgages against their house. So
yeah. And she owes over $600,000 to the IRS, and she's on a payment plan for that.
Yeah.
And then she's got two daughters. Well, no, one already graduated and one is at University of Michigan, and one just graduated and is about to go to college. I don't know where Melania is going, but she's about to have two daughters in college at the same time. And she did not sign a prenuptial agreement, which everybody was yelling at her to. So it doesn't matter, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter that her name's not on the house. Like, is New Jersey community property state? I don't know. I mean, she's still fucked anyway. She's still fucked. I mean,
yeah, her choice seems to be like kind of blind ignorance. But what do you call that when it's a choice? You choose to be ignorant?
Weaponized incompetence. No,
yeah, that's something like that. I know.
It's similar though. Yeah, it's willful ignorance is what it is.
Willful, that's the word. Willful ignorance. That's Teresa's MO. I mean, after all she went through with Joe, the father of her children, all that, and what he put her through to go run off with this guy, refuse to sign a prenup. It's like she's asking for it again. She refused the love bubble.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I'm rolling my eyes. The love bubble.
Click, click, click against the back of your head.
Yeah. I was going to say something else we forgot to mention. In the list of debts that seems to be growing is $300,000. A party planner.
Yep.
A party planner is saying his company. What is it? Vinivia?
Vinivia. I want to keep saying Viviana, but that's not it. It's Vinivia.
Mm-hmm.
his company Venivia owes wife of the party, who is a party planner, and that's a pretty good company. Like she does, I was like checking her out. I was like, oh, she does a lot of events, lot of events, and a lot of big events. Like she's hired by studios, she's hired by networks. She does like she was hired by Carter Ream, Paris's husband. Yeah, to throw Paris a surprise party. Like that's the level that this woman is. Like she's kind of almost Mindy Weiss-esque. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like if she was like, she's maybe this close, if she became so close with Paris to like only doing Paris's parties, do you know what I mean? So she could be the Mindy Weiss of Paris Hilton in that sense. But anyway, so yeah, she owes them, excuse me, Luis and the company, Venivia, owe her $300,000 for throwing their launch party.
Yeah, which Teresa attended, everyone attended.
Yeah.
Right. And that she's been done. And I guess everything's been accounted. It was done by the book. You know, she had their expenses approved, their orders approved by them. Things have been invoiced. It's not a dispute over how much it cost or what was purchased. It's that they're literally just trying to avoid paying her. Mm-hmm. She said they've made a couple of very small credit card payments as like a token to shut her up. And they just keep telling her, we don't have the money. Wait, the wire hasn't come in yet. We're waiting for a payment from this. So and so. It's a nightmare. That means the checks in the mail. Yeah. Checks in the mail. And it's very, how do I say, allegedly, this is truly just an opinion, but it sounds like if you call a Ponzi schemer to get your investment back and they're like, oh, was the routing number off? What do you mean the transfer didn't come through?
Mm-hmm.
And then the number gets disconnected.
But she's not going down. She's like, you know, she's like, I don't give a shit what you do there in New Jersey. She's like, you don't fuck with me here in LA, basically is what she's saying. She's like, no, I'm getting.
Did you know that 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list? Yeah, I'm one of them. So how about we make 2024 the year we finally check learning a new language off our list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. I love Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by language experts and real native speakers to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed for real conversations you'd actually have, like how to ask directions to the best cafe, how to order cheese and wine for lunch and dinner, or maybe that's just important to me, but I know you'll learn what's important to you too. Let's finally cross a language off of our bucket list. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/believe. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/believe, spelled babbel.com/BLEAV. Rules and restrictions may apply. Visit babbel.com for terms and details.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
My money.
And another thing that came out, I guess he has been denying his true association with this brand, Venivia, this company, like distancing himself from it because he doesn't want to be tied to the $300,000 debts for the party. So he's like, oh no, like, I'm not an investor. That's not my company. I've worked with them. It's something that came out that really tripped me out because I remember this trip very well. I was so impressed, not going to lie. When Teresa and Louis went to Switzerland last year. And I mean, that was like first class all the way. They helicoptered onto the Alps. This was like major baller trip. And now that's come out. That too was to meet with Vanivia. They have pictures in their boardroom. He tagged them on the helicopter trip. I mean, it sounds like this organization, again, just my opinion, has been like, you get a bunch of investors to invest, and then they're using it to fund their lifestyles, whoever Louis' partners in this business are. We've seen it so many times that it's like hard not to ignore the signs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are willfully ignoring the signs if you are. Like, because just like what they said on Hollywood Unlocked and Deja Monet, like, this is, he got $300,000 as a investor mandate, you know, from them, and then also got another $100,000 for his Influencer Nation company, which didn't even exist, from Vanivia. Yeah. So allegedly, like, that's what this is saying. Also, I got curious too, because I'm always going to want to know what people think about like working at these jobs. Oh, Glassdoor is amazing. Glassdoor is so wonderful because people really tell you what they think about the places they work or used to work. Granted, there's like two like really nice reviews. Everything else is a joke of a company. Can't even pay their W-2 employees paychecks. Health insurance is canceled due to the company not paying their bills. Like, this is just posted a few days ago. Many vendors left unpaid. 401 contributions gone missing and never recovered, presumably stolen by the company.
Wow.
Every day, this is somebody else, every day offered new ridiculousness that left me dumbfounded at how we are staying afloat as a company. The paychecks changing from a bank to a wire transfer should have been a clear sign of financial malpractice.
Something with this that's occurred to me is like, you know, we talked about in another recent episode the business of being a real housewife and influencer marketing, which is apparently what he calls his hustle now. And I don't know. I have a feeling, like we said, Teresa is willfully ignorant. And I really don't think she's in on this Vanivia thing. My gut is that she falls for what he tells her, though. And so this whole influencer marketing, as he marries one of the biggest top tier housewives at the center of the influencer marketing game, is that he uses her name to get, and again, this is my theory, that he's out there using her name to making promises with her fame and her clout to get people interested in this influencer marketing company. That
I don't disagree with you. That rings very true. Except for, like, I feel like she knows a little bit more, or she just knows that she knows more and isn't listening to her gut. Mm-hmm. And I also, this is just my feeling slash opinion, is that I think she's scared of him. Mm. I think it's probably now at a point where, like, she realized she got herself into something. And she is now financially, legally bound to him and with no protections, that she doesn't want to look stupid. That's the one thing. The one thing that Teresa Giudice hates is being called stupid and looking stupid. Like, she hates it. Like, remember when the whole reason she flipped that fucking table was because Danielle Staub basically called her stupid at the table.
Yeah.
And she went nuts. She doesn't like when people think that she's dumb, that she's stupid, doesn't want to be called stupid. And if she admits that she is wrong, like, just like with Joe, if she admitted that Joe was wrong, that Joe did this, if she admitted that she was a part of it, then she looks quote unquote stupid in her eyes, that she would think that people would like that she would look stupid because everything's about appearance with her. Like, really is. And so this would be the worst. So it's like super scary to think I did this again to myself. Everybody else was right. I'm really going to look stupid. I'm 50 now. Like, I can't, like, what's going to happen to me? Like, do I get a third shot at this? That's scary.
You know what she reminds me of in this way? There are a lot of parallels between them. Teresa reminds me of Vicky Gunvalson. In that, in certain ways, they are smart. They are smart with their castmates. They are smart mm-hmm. with women. They are smart with playing the game. They can see through them. They are so stupid when it comes to men.
So stupid. Look,
from
I mean, yes.
Louis to Brooks mm-hmm. to...
They just want to be loved. They mm-hmm. want to be loved. They want to be loved so unconditionally. Like, I even think, you know, let me break out my armchair psychology degree. Like, it's been talked about before, especially with like her issues with her brother at times with Joe, was that like, even though Joe was younger, like Joe got away with a lot more and life was easier for Joe in some ways because he was the boy and, you know, she was the girl and she was the oldest, but she had to like do all the family stuff and all the girl stuff and like in that traditional Italian type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's always a little bit of resentment and there sometimes can be, in, you know, engendered roles in families and especially traditional patriarchal families like that. So the thing is that I feel like it's one of those things where it is a parental issue of like not getting that love of your dad the way that her brother got the love. Do you know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. constantly looking for that. So like, what did she do? Like, and I'm not, and I don't want people to think that I'm coming after, you know, her father or anything. I'm absolutely not. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes when you grow up in families with these type of systems, you end up like, you know, sometimes you end up pining for that parent that doesn't give you as much attention because they don't think that they have to, or that they can, because it's not manly enough, or it's not right. It doesn't fit the tradition. So it's like, you know, she knew her father loved her and everything like that, but it was a different type of love than Joe was shown. And so then you go into a relationship and you're looking for somebody to love you in that way. And she married somebody very similar to her father in Joe Giudice. You know what I mean? Who I think loved her, but he didn't really respect her, and he treated it because he was under the same thing. And Louis is similar. He talks a big game. He talks mm-hmm. in the language that she loves and that she wants to hear and that she's been looking for her entire life. But the actions are actually even worse than anything.
He might be a more polished Joe Giudice. I mean, in that sense, like you say, he plays to her through therapy terms maybe he's picked up and read mm-hmm. up on, which
from
is
from his men's group.
He knows that's well, what I meant by like more evolved, in that he uses bigger words, but he's still mm-hmm. the same person.
Well, just like when you compared him to Brooks. Yes, absolutely. Because I just think about like that whole thing when I forget who it was. I think it was actually Shannon or David Bedore who asked Brooks, what's your favorite thing about Vicky? And he said, her vagina. And it was like, wait a minute, what? I mean, everybody was taken aback by that. But that's also what Vicky wanted to hear, this language of this man who like was professing his love for her body and soul and sexuality and everything. And it was open with that language. And here's Louise. He's open with that language too. And let's talk about like, let's do this. But it's in a manipulative type of way that he uses against her later on. And that's what Brooks did to Vicky. And I think that's what Louise is doing to Teresa.
Yeah, they know their targets and they're vulnerable, and these guys mm-hmm. are a narcissist, and you know, they're scam artists allegedly. But yeah, surprise Brooks and Louis, I have even less than you. Have fun coming for no. Well, I guess not true if they have less than nothing. No, el punto is, you get it. They're like, they know their target, and they know Brooks got a new set of teeth out of it. I mean, Louis's making business deals off of her reputation and her clout. Mm-hmm. So I worry for her. I do think we should add that, like, we want the best. Like, I feel not bad because it's like, fool her once, shame on them. Fool her twice, shame on her. But I don't like, that's what it is. I feel bad for her, but you can't. She is who she is. She chooses this.
It's we're watching history repeat itself, you know, and like we all can see it because I think the first time around with Joe, we all were like hoping that it wasn't real. We were hoping that like Jacqueline and Caroline were like wrong and like all this stuff. We were just kind of like hoping because we're like, no, it can't. But it was true and it was real. And even then, she denied it and she lied to everybody's face. I mean, I don't think she knew at a certain point, but I think at another point she knew. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll say this, like, I don't wish her any ill will. But Teresa is a liar, though, too. She will lie right on camera to people's faces. Like, she's done it many times. And, like, when she gets caught, like, when she got caught, like, last season or a season before, like, that cookout, and she literally threw a tantrum and, like, knocked over a whole bunch of drinks and, like, stormed out. Like, she doesn't like being caught in a lie. And she will lie blatantly to people. Yeah. And to cover her own ass, kind of like a child. And I feel like we're watching history repeat itself. And she's doing that with this. Like, no, Louis got my, no, Lou, everything's fine. Everything's fine. No, it's not.
She doubles down and digs herself deeper.
Mm-hmm.
She
quadruples down.
Yeah, like you said, she can't admit she's wrong because it makes her feel stupid and she hates being called stupid. But then on the other hand, she uses willful ignorance. And what's the other one we were saying? Weaponized incompetence. When she does get caught in a lie, she's like, oh, I don't understand the cleansiness. So that, you know, she lapses into those like little kind of hunky-dory-isms, like to be like, look, I'm cute and I don't get big words. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. She has very good instincts, maybe not a great vocabulary. Yes. That woman can read a castmate. She can read a room. Mm-hmm. She can read an audience.
The woman is street smart to the max. Like, and one of her street smarts is appearing dumb at times, to be honest with you. Like it's like the Jennifer Tilly effect of like you play, it's really like it can be genius to play dumb, and everybody, you get away with so much when people don't think that you're listening or that you really know what's going on. And she's gone away with a ton. But yeah, she like weaponized incompetence. I didn't know what I was signing. You know, how am I supposed to know? But then at the same time, it was like, oh, she worked as a buyer for Bloomingdale's. She was actually a really senior buyer at Bloomingdale's for a long time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah. Yeah. It's like, the girl ain't dumb. She's not dumb, but like she can be stupid. But like, somebody's going to take that out of context, but all of us can be. Like I do not live in a glass house. Or I do live in a glass house. And so I do not mean to throw stones. Like we all are stupid at times. We've all done stupid things. So she unfortunately just does them on camera.
Over the course of over a decade, more than once.
Again.
Yeah.
Somebody did say that on, I think one of the Reddit blogs that, you know, if they can't afford these houses, then why is Bravo casting these people? Basically, like, because somebody was like, oh, well, you know, Jin Shah rented her place, stuff. It kind of went down the hill of like all the fraudulent stuff, which we've talked about before, about like people renting their house, renting a new house, like just like PK and Dorit and everything like that. And I wanted to chime in so badly, but I was like, nah, I can't. I'll just wait. I'll say it on the podcast. That really rich people for the most part are boring. Like Kathy Hilton's an exception. Like she's like a unicorn. Do you know what I mean? Like, but really rich people tend to be boring. They do not make very good television. So you need somebody who is aspirationally rich to be on these shows. You don't want a fraud. We don't want a Jin Shah on there. We don't want somebody who's completely fake or anything like that. But we also like, if somebody's, I really want somebody to be like owning that house there. But at the same time, if somebody's like on that cusp and just like renting a house, like pushes them over, I'm totally fine with that. Because if they're a character and if they're going to be interesting, and like we say, if they can parlay that into more money for themselves and a bigger gig, go for it. Do it. Make it happen.
I think like one thing that Bravo looks for, or in reality in general, people, like you were saying, the truly rich are boring. And it's true. You're not going to get a lot of drama out of them. Kathy Hilton is so comfortable in life and with who she is. She can be funny. But in general, what you need are people who are still striving. Mm-hmm. You know, Kathy Hilton's not going to flip a table because you said her shoes are ugly. She could care less. She can go upstairs to one of her, you know what I mean? But it's someone who's desperate, who has the mentality of trying to still prove themselves. So mm-hmm. they can't take an insult. They have things to hide. They have things they still dream of. There's a desperation that sends you into reality TV, and that makes good TV.
Exactly.
So frauds, people, not everyone who's not rich is a fraud, but I mean, the truly rich generally don't do it. I mean, it's the ones who make the best TV are playing a game and they're willing to cheat at it.
And the thing is that Beverly Hills is really the only one where like they're rich. You know yeah. what I mean? Especially the first season when it came out, I was like, oh, these bitches is rich. Like, you know, because also there's New York rich, but you don't get a lot for New York rich in some ways. And they weren't socialites or anything like that. But I was right. like, in LA, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was like, I know the Maloof family. I know who that is. I know the Richard sisters. I know what these, I was like, okay, here we go.
We're going to have to talk about that on this podcast.
I think we should.
I think we should.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
A rewatch of season one, Real Housewives uh-huh. Beverly Hills, or uh-huh. or as I call it, Bravo's Camelot. A brief shining moment in time filled with glamour that had never been seen before and will never be seen again.
Nope. Oh my gosh.
Plus we know all the people I know. I know stories. Oh, mm-hmm. I know stories. I think it's long enough. They won't murder me. They won't stuff me in their gift wrapping rooms. I think I could share.
Okay, good. Good, because you'll need to. And then also, we can get Nate to like now fully enjoy Beverly Hills and not just yeah. because of his beloved Sutton. Like, I feel like he will have an affinity for Adrian Maloof. There's something about like he likes salty women. That's why he and I are friends. Like, and that's why he likes Sutton. Like, so I think he will like Adrian Maloof. I'm gonna put money down on that. How much? I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners want to take a bet? We just won't tell him. We'll tell him not to listen to this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, a great way to help us turn Pretty Corrupt from smoke and mirrors, a house, a pot of cards, a podsy scheme into our Beverly Hills dreams. You know how to do it. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and review Pretty Corrupt Podcast. And of course, hit us up on social media, Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, from those PCP accounts, you can find all our personals, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. It's also share with your accountants, your brokers, your disappearing Swiss bankers, your party planners, whatever it may be.
Forget about it.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.